stuff going on. And how many of you volunteered? See, lots of hands. How many of y'all like brought stuff for the volunteers? Man, see, look at that. Great job. Thanks for your commitment and your participation this week. I know it meant a lot and accomplished good things. Why do you come to church? Yeah, think about this. I mean, why do people sometimes come to church? There are probably a couple of reasons. For some, it's out of duty. It's kind of what you do. It's a routine. It's what you do, right? On Sunday morning, it's what you do. You go to church. So we do that. Others may come for, an expectation. Something's going to happen. Somebody's performing, doing this, doing that. Somebody's participating, leading out. So we come with an expectation. Somebody may come because they have a need of some kind, and so they're feeling like, well, the place to be would be in church. It sounds like the right place to be, and so I'll be there. Maybe lots of other reasons. You know, when we come to church, I think one of the things, especially in the worship experience or even in a small group experience, I think one of the reasons we come is because we need to be reminded. I mean, I'm not real bright, and so my wife often reminds me of lots of things. And in fact, she'll tell you that she's my memory, you know. But I think we need this constant reminder. For example, someone in here this morning needs to simply be reminded that God cares. You just need to be reminded that God cares about you and that he loves you. You just need to hear those words spoken so somehow it goes in your ears and sticks in your mind and maybe makes its way to your heart. Someone in here needs to be reminded of God's power. In fact, let me throw you out a word that we don't like to use so oftentimes in Baptist church, but sovereignty. Do you realize nothing is happening that God doesn't know about? Hadn't known about it before it ever happened. Sees history from one end to the other from a perspective that we can't even contemplate. And the fact is, he's still in control. He is in control. And we need to be reminded of his power. Because sometimes we get stuck in places in life and we feel like there's just no way out. You ever been there? And we need to realize that, man, God can do this. There is nothing impossible for him. And sometimes, maybe this morning you need to be reminded of his goodness. I mean, just stop and think. How good is he? Is he good? Okay, let's try this one more time. I'm going to ask this question. That means you respond, okay? Is he good? Yes, he is. And to be reminded of his goodness and how good he is to us, we need to hear that. And so this morning, may you be reminded of God's care for you. May you be reminded of God's power and of his goodness. So let's pray and just ask God to bless the time we're together. So we're going to study for a few minutes, okay? Father, thank you for moments to remind us. We've stepped into this room for this time, and we have sung out to you the great I am. What a powerful song. The reminding of your power and of your strength and your sovereignty. Lord, remind us today of your goodness and of your care, of your love for us. Father, I know there are folks that entered in this room that just got stuff going on in life, and Father, as they turn that over to you today, Father, would you affirm them in the fact that you are working on their behalf for your glory. And as we study this morning, Father, help us to understand what your word is speaking to us about our character, about our life, and about our practices. that our lives would reflect Christ, for that's our desire today. We love you, Jesus. For it's in your name we pray. Amen. If you brought your Bibles with you, turn over to Mark chapter 5. And this morning I want to give you a word that is kind of our word for the day, and it's the word available. And it's what I see so very vividly in this passage that we're going to study this morning about a characteristic, a practice that Jesus has. It always appears that Jesus demonstrates this unique availability. And maybe a way to explain this is, years ago I was in business, joined our business for ourselves, and had a couple of stores and a couple of shops. And down from one of the shops was another store in the shopping center that, as you walked up to the door and looked, had the sign. You know, where normally places of business have like their hours of operation and that kind of stuff. It had this sign that says, by appointment only, and the phone number. Now, I always wondered about that, because I always wanted to call up and say, how is that business strategy working for you? Because I can go four doors down and find a shop that has half the stuff that you have in there, and I don't have to call ahead to ask you to come in and open it up and then feel obligated to buy something because you showed up. There was this unavailable right across the front of the door of the shop. You know, sometimes I think as people, we wear signs that say unavailable. We'll walk, we'll play, we'll be engaged in activity and just doing life, and somehow there's this sign that just simply says, I'm unavailable, I'm too busy, I'm not interested. When in fact, I think what Jesus shares here is that it's like he wears this sign that says available. Not to date, mind you, but just available. And this idea is about being available to be engaged in your life. And so what I want to do is to pick up in Mark chapter 5 and two examples of Jesus demonstrating his availability with people. And if you're over Mark chapter 5, verse 21 is going to be our first passage, first portion. Listen to this. And when Jesus had crossed again in the boat to the other side, a great crowd gathered around him, and he was beside the sea. And then came one of the rulers of the synagogue, Jairus by name, and seeing him, he fell at his feet and implored him earnestly, saying, that just means he begged him, my little daughter is at the point of death. Come lay your hand on her so that she may be made well and live. And he went with him. And the great crowd followed him and thronged about him. The first glimpse of available we find here. And that's the characteristic or the practice of simply being present among people. You notice Jesus is gathered, and he's gathered with a great crowd. You'll always find Jesus, so oftentimes in Scripture, and I know a couple of weeks ago we talked about the importance of literally taking a break and getting away, and while Jesus did that, we find Jesus so many other times, so often we find Jesus always with people, whether it's in a house, whether it's having dinner, whether it's along the side of the road, whether it's in the temple, whether it's in the synagogue, wherever it is, we find him with people, and I think that's an important aspect of being available, is simply being among people, being present among people. And that's what Jesus demonstrates here. He demonstrates that he is present, that he is available, and that he is among people. There is an important understanding of being available by being with people. And something else that we see is Jesus is observant. See, it's part about being observant, being among people and being observant at the needs and the issues and the hurts and the wants that they have in their life. But probably more significant than anything else out of this passage is Jesus' willingness to listen and his willingness to go. Because picture this, Jesus has got a big crowd. He's got a huge amount of people, and he's really, really, this is his goal. Is he's supposed to share the message, and he's teaching, and he's telling his crowd. But yet there's one guy named Jairus that shows up and comes right up to Jesus, and he's got one daughter, one man, one daughter, in front of hundreds of people, and yet he says to him, "Would you please come?" Jesus listens to his story, and Jesus went. The word for went means simply to go, as to accompany. It's that Jesus decided to walk alongside of him. How many times do we get so crazy busy in life, and our involvement gets so skewed at times that we miss the singular plea, we miss the one need? And yet when Jesus could have stayed, he left. Now we notice in the passage that the crowd followed them. It's like, you know, Jesus was walking along and they all started following him. But when I think about being available, if I'm going to be available, if you're going to be available, it means that I've got to be in the presence of people. I've got to be engaged in the lives of people. I've got to be with people, observing them and willing to stop and willing to listen and willing to go when there's a need. It's about being available. But look at verse 25. Picture this, they're going to Jairus' house and to see the daughter, so they're en route. And there's this woman who had a discharge of blood for 12 years and who had suffered much under many physicians and had spent all that she had and was no better, but she rather grew worse under the care of the doctors. She had heard the reports about Jesus, and she came up behind him in the crowd and she touched his garment. For she said to herself, "If I just touch even his garment, I will be made well." And immediately the flow of blood dried up, and she felt in her body that she had been healed of her disease. The word for felt means to know. The idea is she knew in her mind, she knew in her heart that she had been healed. And Jesus, perceiving in himself that power had gone out from him, immediately turned about in the crowd and said, "Who touched my garments?" And the disciples, thinking he was crazy, that's just added in there, says, "You see the crowd pressing around you, yet you say, 'Who touched me?' Everybody's touching you." And he looked around to see who had done it. Man, think about those eyes. Think about the eyes that met. And she couldn't get past the eyes. And just think that they locked glances for a moment. And the woman, knowing what had happened to her, came in fear and trembling and fell down before him and told him the whole truth. She told her story. And Jesus said to her, "Daughter, your faith has made you well. Go in peace and be healed of your disease." Two things here about being available. One is compassion. See, I think there's a reason why Jesus wants to engage the woman who has received healing from him, who received the power that went out from him. One of them is compassion. I think the idea of seeing her and engaging her face-to-face in conversation, he has a compassion for this person, just as he has for Jairus and his family and his daughter. There's compassion. And listen to this about compassion, though. Compassion, as we talk about spiritual intelligence, is related to a couple of things, and one thing it's not is apathy. Do y'all know what apathy means? Yeah, I don't care. Okay, so you're apathy, you're good, okay? Then there's sympathy. Sympathy means that I'm sorry you're in the situation you're in. Empathy means that I feel the pain that you're feeling. I feel the hurt that you're hurting because maybe you've experienced the same thing or been down the same road. But sometimes empathy can be kind of toxic when it goes to the extreme, because then you begin to relive those emotions if you yourself have not been healed. But then there's compassion. Compassion is the great opposite of apathy. Compassion says, I feel sorry about the situation that you're in. I understand the pain that you're going through, but I have hope that I want to give you. And so I have compassion upon you. And as Jesus has compassion on this woman, there is a reason why he pulls her back to converse with her. I truly believe that had she not encountered Jesus and heard her words, she would have spent all of her life wondering how long the healing was going to last. I believe that she would have walked away from there second-guessing, knowing that she'd been healed, but perhaps only for a moment, perhaps only temporarily, or perhaps this was just something unique that happened at this moment. But she needed to hear the words of Jesus simply speak to her, "You are healed. Go in peace." Do you know the power of words? There are times in our lives that we are walking through certain things, and though we know certain truths to be very specific to our life, and the Bible speaks about certain things, there are times that we simply need to have somebody come up to us and simply engage us in conversation, to simply look us in the eye and say, "Hey, it's going to be all right. God's going to work this for his glory. It's going to be okay. You're going to get through this. You're going to walk through this. I want you to know that God cares. I want you to know that he loves you. I want you to know there's power in him. Place your faith. Trust him through this. There's power in this." Just as we talked about earlier, you need to hear the word. And so as Jesus demonstrates compassion and availability, he speaks word of truth into her life. But the story even gets a little more intriguing. For as you pick up in verse 35, it says, while he was still speaking, now notice what's happening here. There are a couple of people that are in the conversation. Jesus is there. Jairus is there standing with him. There's the woman who's just been healed. And so as you pick up and as you're reading here in verse 35, it says, while he was still speaking, he is speaking to the woman. He is affirming her. He is blessing her with words and telling her to go in peace, that she has been healed. There came from Jairus' house someone who said, "Your daughter is now dead." Why trouble the teacher anymore? But Jesus overheard what this messenger said and says to Jairus, "Do not fear, only believe." Can you imagine what is happening in that moment with just those few conversations there? Jesus, Jairus, the woman that's just been healed, and Jairus hears that his daughter is dead. Think about this. The man just moments ago was up here, man. He's hopeful. He's excited. The teacher is coming with me, this one who's done healing. He's coming to my house. How exciting. My daughter's going to be okay. And yet the message comes that she's died. He's down here. He just heard Jesus just healed this woman, and Jesus has stopped, and he's spending time. He's made himself available to this woman, and has been healing, and he's affirming her. And yet here he's thinking in his mind, "Well, why didn't he come with me? Let's go faster. Hurry. We should have gone before. We shouldn't have stopped. We should have kept on going. All this stuff. Why did I even bother? She's dead." Jesus says, "Do not fear. Just believe." Talk about words from the teacher. Talking about words from Jesus. And as they make their way to his house, Jesus allowed no one to follow him but Peter, James, and John. And they came to the house, and Jesus saw the commotion, and the people were weeping and wailing. They were publicly in mourning. And when they entered, he said to them, "Why are you making such a commotion and weeping? Or this, the child is not dead, but sleeping." And they laughed at him. But he put them outside of the house. I wish he would have recorded what Jesus said when he told them to get out of the house. That would have been kind of interesting. I told him to get out. And taking her by the hand with mom and dad in the room, Peter, James, and John, says to her, "Little girl, arise." And she gets up. And it says that mom and dad were overcome with amazement. They were overwhelmed at what they had just experienced. This healing. See, when I think about Jesus and his being available, I think about being in the midst of people and to being observant and willing to stop and listen and willing to go and willing to demonstrate compassion and willing to speak words and offer hope and making space for the distractions and exceeding expectations. So if Jesus did this, how do we do that? How do we do that stuff that Jesus did? How do we demonstrate availability? I think of four things that speak to us in being available. One is that we have to be in the presence of people. Yes, you need your breaks. Yes, you need a way. Yes, you need to take time out, but you need to be among people. But we also need to demonstrate compassion. That idea that I'm sorry for the circumstance that you're in, but I understand how you feel, and I want to give you hope. See, availability is presence. Availability is compassion. It's also a willingness. It's a willingness to stop and listen and to hear the stories that people are telling and to hear their circumstance and what they're going through. And it is also a responsiveness, and it's a willingness to go. A willingness to stop and a willingness to go. You know, I want my life to reflect Christ. I want to live my life that reflects Christ. And I want to live a life that is available. Because he did. And I know because he did, you also want to. So this is going to happen in two ways, one of two ways. Whenever we make ourselves available, one or two things happen. One, God leads you down a path to someone in need. That's why you're sitting around praying or thinking or watching TV or engaged in conversation and this idea comes into your mind, the Holy Spirit speaks to you about you need to call so-and-so, you need to go see so-and-so, you need to go over here. That's God leading you to the person who has a need. The other is what I found out over and over again, when we make ourselves available, God sends people to us because we are a people of peace. And so, uniquely enough, God sends somebody to us, somebody we may never have known, somebody that was just, hey, you need to go talk to so-and-so, or introduced, or you have a conversation. God just sends somebody to you. Jesus demonstrates availability to be engaged in the life of another, to give hope. May our lives reflect the same availability that Jesus did. That we would stop. And be willing to go. And be willing to give hope. There's a huge need for that today. Would you pray with me? Father, you. When I think about the life that Jesus walked on earth, and I think about the models that he leaves behind for us, your word speaks to the availability. Help us to be available help us to listen to your voice speak about going, to be observant in the midst of people as you send someone to us. For Lord, help us to be compassionate, to speak words of hope and truth into lives that need it today. Father, I know in this room there are lives that need truth spoken into it. And so may you use us and others to relay that truth. Jesus, we love you. Thank you for loving us. For it's in Christ's name we pray. Amen.